The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the show that asks the questions you'd ask if you could.
Questions like,
do you carry that hijab in a man's size?
And hey, where'd you get those cool feather earrings?
Those answers right now.
Here's your host, Eric Metaxas.
Happy, happy 4th of July to everybody. Happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday, America.
Good day.
This is the greatest nation in the history of the world.
Sure is.
And the way we've governed ourselves for 242 years is open to the whole world. We have not patented it. We can't keep it to ourselves.
We don't want
to. So when I wrote my book, If You Can Keep It, I don't mean if we can keep it to ourselves. I mean if we can keep it and preserve it so that it can spread to the whole world.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
It's like keeping of light.
It's like keeping a flame. You keep the flame so that you can light other flames and you can light other candles and other fires. And our form of government is important. Actually, two things on that subject. Since we're talking about our form of government, obviously the Constitution gets into that conversation. I want to remind people on this July 4th that we have a sponsor called Hillsdale College. They are, as far as I'm concerned, at the very forefront of teaching what it means to be an American to their undergraduate students. I don't think I need to remind people that around America, the world of higher education, the academy, has fallen on hard times. They do not seem typically to appreciate what it means to celebrate America and the values the founders gave us. So if you're interested in that stuff, let me say go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com, because MetaxasForHillsdale.com will allow you, the listener, to sign up for a free course on the Constitution. You watch it on your screen. How tough is that?
Right.
You watch it on the stinking screen.
What?
It's so easy.
It's easy.
And but it is actually cool to get that kind of an education from professors at Hillsdale.
And you can get Imprimis, which I get, you get.
Imprimis is this is all for free, folks.
Yes.
So let me recommend Metaxas for Hillsdale.com.
I've learned something in the last hour that it's Ben Franklin was actually 70 years old.
You know what? In hour one today, Alvin.
I said 80.
Alvin said that he was 80 when the Declaration of Independence was signed. He was 81 or 82 when the Constitution was signed.
Right, for the Declaration of Independence, 70.
He was a mere
oldest.
He was a mere 70.
A mere 70. Here, let me sign that thing over there, young feller.
Well, it's interesting to think that he.
Let me put my John Hancock to that.
He died in 1790.
Yeah.
So that's 3 years after the Constitution was signed. But anyway, go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com. You can get a course on the Constitution. A lot of great stuff. I'm just telling you, it's free, so check it out. In this hour, we're going to hear from our friend Lee Habib. Lee Habib, we don't need to talk about it now because in a couple of minutes he can tell the story himself. But he's an amazing American, and we want to hear from him. But since it's the 4th of July, we thought we would share some fun facts with the group. And by the way, if you're a listener, you're part of the group. You're part of it. It's like an encounter group.
That's right. Gather round.
And
gather
so we're gonna share some facts with you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sure, why not?
Alvin, do you know, if I were to ask you that the main author of the Declaration of Independence, which was signed today or yesterday, depending on how you figured out, 242 years ago, do you know what the age of Thomas Jefferson was?
No, that I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
You sure?
15.
You know what? That's close.
They matured, you know.
In those days,
yeah,
15, you would be
like
a grandfather.
Or
oh, yeah, you could easily be a grandfather at age 15.
Sure.
Well, because people were smaller back then.
That's right.
They had tiny shoes, the staircases, the doors were smaller. So at age 15, you were like a real graybeard in those days.
Sure.
But no, he was 33 years old.
Okay. Hey, that's a nice age.
Yeah. 33 years old.
I like that.
And he was, of course, a womanizer. So we're not going to mention that.
No, don't.
No. But George Washington was 44.
Right.
George Washington was a real man of character. Oh, I want to tell you.
Yes.
No, he was.
I know. Hey, you don't have to tell me.
I talk about him in my...
Have you ever met him? He's a great guy.
I talk about him in two books. I talk about him in my book, If You Can Keep It, and I talk about him in my book, Seven Men. But part of the reason that I wrote If You Can Keep It, and part of the reason I put him in my book, Seven Men, is I really grew ashamed. When I started realizing how great George Washington was, I said, it's shameful that I have lived most of my life in America not appreciating the greatness of this man, and that he was a great person. He wasn't just great in terms of his brain. He was a really great man with great character who lived out his character. And by living it out, he did great things for this country. And so I just want to say that if you're scoring at home, George Washington was a great man. Obviously, he was not perfect. But to criticize him, for example, for owning slaves is ridiculous, because there's not a single landowner of his stature in that time who didn't own slaves. That doesn't mean slavery is okay. But you've got to be very careful about imposing your views today backwards, because, you know what,
50, 100 years from now, people are going to be imposing their views on us and say, why didn't they do this, that, or the other thing in their day?
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that we're right. It just means that we're all flawed and we're all sinners, but we already knew that. I knew that.
So
I can certainly see your sin, Albin.
Thank you.
But
we should spend our days taking care of the problems of our day,
right?
Not 50, 100, 200 years ago. There you go.
Right.
So people
Now, you know what? Here's another name that comes up on the 4th of July.
Okay.
Who is most famous for signing the Declaration of Independence typically?
Jackie Mason?
It's close.
Okay.
That's close. You probably meant to say Button Gwinnett, but I'm not thinking of Button Gwinnett.
Who are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of John Hancock.
Oh, the guy with the handwriting thing.
John Hancock. Now, you probably didn't know this.
No.
But when I was in college at Yale, I played John Hancock in the musical Fiorello.
Oh.
Just kidding. Not Fiorello. No. In 1776.
Yeah,
I played John Hancock.
That was you?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I played John Hancock. And I had to go down and say, you know, I'm going to sign my name large enough so that King George can read it without his glasses.
Ooh.
Yeah. Imagine being, I guess I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I was 19, playing John Hancock,
right, Right.
And so I kind of walked with a stoop. But I played John Hancock.
Right.
And now I read, how old was John Hancock?
Yeah,
39.
39.
He's a kid.
He's walking with a cane and he's all shaking.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
But he was 39 years old. Now,
yeah,
we know in those days, 39.
I know. Would be like about 102 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Dog years.
But so John Hancock was a 39-year-old. I played him when I was 19, and I kind of thought, oh, man, he was old.
Yes.
He was 39 years old.
I know.
But he signed the Declaration of Independence first, and he signed it in very large script. I guess because, I mean, look, let's be honest. We kid around. These men were risking their lives.
Oh, no doubt.
Many of them felt – you know what? We never really focus on this. They felt – no kidding – when they signed this document, they were signing – they might as well have been signing it in blood, because they felt they are signing their death warrant.
That's true.
No kidding.
No.
They said, when I sign this, it's like declaring mutiny. You are saying that the power that has created the colonies and all this stuff, that we are now going off the grid to do our own thing. They are going to come at us with the largest navy and military force in the world,
right?
Which they did.
Yes.
And they're going to want to kill us.
Yeah.
And so they're signing this. So the idea that John Hancock says, I want to be on the record as the first one, and I'm going to sign it in big letters. Now, because of that, history remembers him.
That's right.
And so people will say, when they say, let's have your signature, they say, let's have your John Hancock.
And I know, right. And it was his name was so huge that they established an insurance company after his name.
That's right.
And
so if you sign your name really big.
Nothing bigger than that. Yep.
But it's interesting to think this man really is famous because he said, maybe I'm signing my death warrant, but I believe in what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And as a man's man, I'm not going to I'm not going to sign it small. I'm going to sign it
corner of the page.
I'm a man's man. Yeah. I'm going to sign it. And if I die for what I believe in,
yeah, it's right there.
As Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. They really believed in liberty. So if we don't believe in liberty, if we don't understand it, shame on us. Let's take this day of all days.
Yes.
To think about this stuff. Yeah. Folks, when we come back, the great Lee Habib. Happy 4th of July.
Yes.
Happy birthday, America.
Then that time I went and said goodbye.
How much do you spend on your pest control each year? $200, $300, or even $500 or more? What if I said you could spend less than $25 a year, even less with promo code SAVE20? Then listen up. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest Free, and yes, it is possible to rid your home or business of unwanted pests for less than $25 per year. The answer is Plug-In Pest Free. Our bestseller, the Plug-In Pest Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. For just a one-time cost of only $249, even less with promo code SAVE20, you'll be pest-free for years to come. Log on to gopestfree.com today. Use promo code SAVE20 and start driving those pests away. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com. That's gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom. Just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional. But it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
Your credit card companies love you. They love it when your cards stay maxed out. They love it when you only make minimum payments. They love it when you struggle. Why? Because they own you. And minimum payments mean maximum profits. Here's great news. National Debt Relief is now offering you free information on how to escape your credit card debt nightmare. If you owe more than $10,000 in credit card debt and are only barely making minimum payments, know this. You may not have to pay it all back. In fact, you may have the right to settle that debt for only a fraction of what you owe. National Debt Relief has helped thousands of people get rid of over $500 million of debt, and they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get the information you need for free right now before this offer goes away. Call National Debt Relief now and escape your credit card debt troubles. 800-679-1288. 800-679-1288. 800-679-1288.
Looking for a change in the weather. I get this feeling whenever we're together. So I went out to see you. There was no one.
Hey there, folks. This is the Eric Metaxas.
Texas Show. I have a special guest today. It is Lee Habib. Lee, you're in the studio. Welcome.
Welcome to you, Eric.
Welcome to New York.
Same here. I love it. This was home for me for a long time until I left home and headed to the South, which, by the way, I'll be writing about in Newsweek shortly about this epic trip I took to the South.
What is this Newsweek of which you speak?
I started at Newsweek about 2 months ago, and I think Newsweek is...
Is that a magazine?
What
is
that? I think it's a magazine that we may have known and come to know.
You mean The Newsweek?
The Newsweek.
As in Time Magazine and U.S. News and World Report? You mean The Newsweek?
The Newsweek, correct. And they were reaching out to get some conservative writers, people who think like we do.
You're conservative?
I think so.
A hothead. You're a bigot is what you're telling me.
I am one of the known
you're sexist.
Bigoted, sexist
You're classes. Judging me right now.
I am.
A Pharisee.
I am.
All right. Well, as long as we got that out of the way.
Good. To have that disclaimer, by the way.
It's very
it should
important.
Just be recorded before we
it's,
do the
it's
show.
It's very important. You are you're also, this is kind of funny because I know you in so many different contexts, I get confused, but you're also the VP of content at the Salem Radio Network. Did you know that we are the second on the Salem Radio Network?
I did not know that.
So you're not just the VP of content there. You're the VP of content right here.
I know.
It's incredible.
It's sad.
It's confusing. So, but you're a writer.
Mm-hmm.
You write a lot of stuff and you're part of something. This is what I want to talk to you about. You write for Newsweek and you're part of something called Our American Network. org. You're the host of Our American Stories. We talked about that recently on this program, but I said I want to have you back because this is a lot of people don't even know about this. I want them to know about this. Our American Stories. So talk about that for people who didn't listen to the previous program. What is it?
It's really simple, Eric. There are stories that happen every day in America that reveal our character today. And there are stories in the past that everyone should know but doesn't know anymore. And the people on our side have long attacked universities. We've attacked the left, the progressives. But we haven't had an antidote. And I wrote a column in National Review that said, you know, when Sam Walton was building his empire called Walmart, did he whine about the fact that Sears had first mover advantage, that 50% of Americans had Sears credit cards?
But not publicly.
Actually, it was his driving force to put them out of business. And so it was because he thought
that Sears out of business. Why would he want to put Sears out of business?
He thought they charged too much.
Really?
Yeah. And what he wanted to do was bring better distribution to poor and rural folks who were always getting overcharged because it took two and three middlemen to get something to a little local grocery store in small town south. And when he would go to big cities, he would find that stuff was cheaper there because it didn't pass through as many middlemen. So he wanted to create a distribution network to drive prices lower so that lower working class and working poor people could afford to buy the things they could buy.
I had no idea.
Big
you know,
success.
I need to have you
that
on
was
the
one
radio.
Of our first Our American Stories,
but I need to have
way.
You on the radio program to tell my listeners about that.
Yep.
Oh, you just did.
We did.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I see. This is what I'm saying. I love the stories that nobody knows that everyone should know. You know me. That's part of what I do. I discover
it
this
is.
Stuff, and I think I kind of go crazy when I realize how did I not know this.
Yep.
So you're doing this on a weekly basis.
You know, one of the interesting things about Sam Walton is I have a team. I have 8 full-time people. So when we decide to do an hour on the life of Sam Walton, I'll say, let's go interview folks. One of the people we interviewed was Lee Scott, who is the chairman of the board and CEO of Walmart. And so we asked him for the best Sam Walton story that would reveal the character and nature of Sam. And this is what we ask people. Tell us a story, right? Because through these stories, we'll learn who Sam Walton is. Well, Lee Scott tells a story of the first time he ever goes into the big room to do what's called a P&L report, profit and loss, on a Saturday. Everybody worked on Saturdays. It was a dinky office, even though he was in charge at this point of $1 billion in revenue. So he's told Sam runs a pretty tough enterprise. And the first question is, Scott, why are your uniforms $500 more to clean than everybody else's in this GD room? And Lee Scott thinks, is this a practical joke? $500 uniform cleaning? Is the candid camera going to come out? And then I looked around. He wasn't joking. And it was the attention to detail of small things.
In other words, you're saying
expenses.
That Sam Walton was a petty man.
He was a petty man. He was a small man.
And he loved to curse.
Well, he
and
loved to curse.
Those are the kind of values we're talking about on this program.
Indeed. But let me tell you this. He said, what I learned there is that we were trying to squeeze out as much cost as possible out of the system. Because what we were trying, he said, we always have to think about the working poor who can't afford that milk. Where is our money going? Is it going to us or are we saving money for for our customer.
So this is why it was a mission.
It was a mission, a deep mission about working, really is accommodating the lives of the working
poor. I've never wanted to shop at Walmart till now.
You should. And by the way, 100 million Americans a week shop at Walmart. So you should, because it's where America shops.
Because I live to put Amazon out of business.
I'm with you.
Okay. All right. So where do we go from here? So every week on OurAmericanNetwork.org, you host Our American Stories.
That's right.
And so if people want to find it, they have to go to OurAmericanNetwork.org.
They can do that, Eric. Or like, for instance, we just got KABC in Los Angeles. This is a gigantic heritage
station.
I'm
not moving to Los Angeles. I'd rather go to the website.
Well, we're all over the country. We just passed our 150th affiliate, and we're coming to New York soon. We're negotiating with a major player in New York as
really?
We speak. Yep.
Is anybody
I
know?
I think it might be someone you know, okay. But I can't say yet. But
he drives a hard bargain. Don't let him do that to you.
He's pretty tough. But hopefully we'll be on the air here in what used to be my hometown, which is northern New Jersey. So I'm looking forward to that. And
right.
The partnership with Newsweek, most of the stories I do for Newsweek, I've already either dug or drilled down on Our American Stories, or I'm thinking about it. And they're very different products. What you write on a piece of paper is very different than the audio version of what you do.
You've brought a Newsweek editor here. We're not going to put him on camera or on microphone, but I just want people to know I could see him. He's right here. His name is Diane. I forgot the last name. But welcome. It's a joy to have you here. Actually, when I hear that mainstream players like Newsweek are willing to incorporate more traditional or conservative voices, you realize that's good for business.
It is.
That's not – I mean, many Americans, if they have an alternative, if they can get both sides of a story, they're going to go there. And typically, places like Newsweek or Time or whatever, they filtered out a lot of the stuff you're trying to put on Our American Stories. I think that's part of the news of what is happening right now, is that the media is being more open to these ideas. First of all, they see that it's profitable, but also they see there's something that we were missing. How did Trump get elected, for example?
Right.
Well, we need to see.
Yeah, who are these people who voted this way? Because my friends didn't. Somebody did. And by the way, maybe my cousins or my relatives who live in central Pennsylvania did. And I know they're not racist or bigots or xenophobic. So what's that story about?
The story is that you call them that anyway and move on with your life.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. All right. So what are some of the stories in Our American Stories on Our American Network that we can talk about? You just talked about Sam Walton. I did not know that. That's an amazing story. What are some of the other stories you've been talking about, writing about for Newsweek?
I'll tell you, we did one last week on Tim Samaras. Now, anybody who's ever watched the Weather Channel, and by the way, a quarter of America is dedicated to the Weather Channel, because if you live in the Gulf Coast, well, you're worried about hurricanes. If you live in the Midwest, there's tornado watches, about half the year.
Yeah.
And so you get to know these people. Tim was the star of the Weather Channel.
Is that a Greek name? It has to be.
It is.
Samaras.
Yes.
He's a Greek.
Yes.
Wonderful.
It is.
I'm Greek.
I,
that's all I care about. Is he Greek or not?
And then that's it.
He's Greek. He's
well,
Greek, so he's my friend.
We don't need to know any more about the story.
So
and
Tim,
I didn't know that's all I had to write. So
that's all you had to do is say Tim Samaras, famous Greek guy. Okay, he's the best known storm chaser in the world.
Yes.
What is a storm chaser?
Well, for him, I mean, he literally started this thing called storm chasers, basically. Before him, there were a few amateurs dabbling in this space. But he was a young guy who lived in Colorado, and he watched these supercells starting to form. But the tornadoes rarely touched down in Colorado. They would hit the Great Plains and the prairies and even the tornado alley down where I live in the Memphis area. And it fascinated him, this thing called the tornado. After he saw The Wizard of Oz, he was done. He had to do this thing called storm chasing and storm science. He was self-taught in engineering, self-taught in all
of
the...
Well, he's Greeks. They're all very smart. They're geniuses.
No college.
It's incredible.
He
Who needs college? Greeks invented college. Okay, so seriously, this guy, he's a kind of like a natural genius, and he applies it to meteorology.
Correct. And also, he creates these apparatus.
Those are Greek words, by the way.
They are.
Yeah,
they are. He creates this apparatus that can actually measure storm activity. He built these pods. They were actually, they were called turtle pods. He would stick them in the ground and hope a tornado would go over.
Okay.
So he could record the science.
There was a movie
Twister.
With Helen Hunt.
Twister.
And you know what?
Twister.
We're out of time. This is an 11. This is an 11. The Moo Twister with Helen Hunt, and I can't remember who else was in it.
That's Neil.
That's it shows those pods, right?
Yes.
That they put them down, they get sucked up into the twister, and then they can measure what's going
on up
there.
That's exactly right.
So this guy invented this
stuff? This guy invented this stuff, then knew how to track the storm so you could actually get a tornado to go over them. No duck walk. And it's a very dangerous thing because you don't know where tornadoes are going, so you got to get fairly close to them, place the pod, and then find either a ditch or some place you can go so that the tornado doesn't take you away. By the way, the remarkable thing about this story is, in the end, the tornado does take him away.
Gets
killed. He gets killed by an F3 in Oklahoma.
Oh.
And there's a terrific book, and I had read the book called The Man Who Caught the Storm.
Okay, hold on. When we come back, I want to talk about that. The Man Who Caught the Storm. Folks, we're talking to my friend Lee Habib. He's the VP of content at the Salem Radio Network, so I was forced to have him on the program, and I apologize. We'll be right back.
When you rise, sleep pretty, darling, do not cry. And I will sing.
How much do you spend on your pest control each year? $200, $300, or even $500 or more? What if I said you could spend less than $25 a year? Even less with promo code RADIO20, then listen up. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest Free, and yes, it is possible to rid your home or business of unwanted pests for less than $25 per year. The answer is Plug-In Pest Free. Our bestseller, the Plug-In Pest Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. For just a one-time cost of only $249, even less with promo code RADIO20, you'll be pest-free for years to come. Log on to gopestfree.com today. Use promo code RADIO20 and start driving those pests away. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com. That's gopestfree.com. Promo code RADIO20.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com. Not only do we have great grills, but also the best hot patio heaters. We are the nationwide distributor for Bromic Radiant Patio Heaters, the very best patio heater that you can get. The Bromic heaters use the same radiant burner technology as our Solaire infrared grills, so they heat up fast and keep you warm so you can enjoy your backyard grill and outdoor living spaces into the night and all year round. Bromic heaters have stylish contemporary designs that fit perfectly in backyard and restaurant patios. We have gas and electric models to suit most installation needs and a portable gas heater that directs the heat where you want it, not the bushes and walls like the mushroom heaters. For top quality performance and aesthetics, you want Bromic Radiant Patio Heaters and Solaire Infrared Grills. Learn about these amazing grills and heaters at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com, besthotgrill.com. Here we go.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm sitting here in the studio with Lee Habib. If you're a subscriber to Metaxas Super, you could see me and you could see Lee. And if you're not a subscriber, you can only hear us. We look very different than our voices, don't we, Lee?
Always.
You could never know who's sitting here. But anyway.
And that's best.
Okay, so Lee Habib, you are the host of Our American Stories, which is on ouramericannetwork.org. And you're just telling us about this Greek guy, Tim Samaras, who chased storms and who invented this whole idea of chasing storms. And you said just before the break, he was killed by a storm.
Indeed. And by the way, if you go to YouTube and look up Tim Samaras and the Discovery Channel, you'll see this episode because you can actually see the storm. You can see Tim getting captured by it. And then there's no lights. No, it's an hour. It's mesmerizing because there is something. Well, one of the folks who talked about his friend who died, and the name was Christopher Karstens, another storm chaser, and he was asked to comment on Samaras and guys like him who chased tornadoes for a living. And this is what Karstens said. He said, "You have to wonder, because people liken it to some supernatural force being close to a tornado, and of course it is, right? Did he get away with seeing that thing too many times?" He said, "Was it just too much contorted in one way that it had to take something back at some point or another? I just don't know. And you got this sense studying him. And again, we ran this in Newsweek last week, and it just did beautifully. We got this sense studying him that ultimately a lot of people think they may die doing this because they're drawn to it and they know it's dangerous. And once they do it, when they get away from it, they lose their reason for living. And there's an adrenaline rush.
I was going to say,
one can't imagine.
I don't think it has anything to do with the gods or anything. It sounds like a kind of a pagan interpretation of things. But you. The fact of the matter is that there is a truth there, right? Not long ago, two guys, expert climbers, were climbing El Capitan. You know, horrifying for me to think about climbing a sheer face of rock. But these people kind of get addicted to it. Same thing with climbing Everest. And of course, you're taking tremendous chances. I mean, how old was this man when he died?
He was in his mid-50s, more than likely early 50s. He died with his son, too. His son was with him. And another ace partner of his that was also on the Discovery Channel. And so, this is what, as the wife let everyone know, this is what my husband was born to do. He always knew the risks. By the way, he wasn't a risk taker. The tornado only a week before, there was an F5 that leveled more Oklahoma. He didn't want to get near. This storm in Oklahoma City was only an F3. The problem was that it was a supercell that had other tornadoes inside it. Some say there were as many as 8. And each of those tornadoes inside the big tornado are what really got him. It was a storm like no one had ever seen. Ultimately, more from an F3 into a 2.5 mile wide F3 with 8 to 9 tornadoes inside it. And the next thing you know, it was on top of him. And it was over. And his last words were to a dispatcher. And it was, I think we're going to die. Those were his final words.
Do we know how he died? I don't really understand when
he was
say...
in the Chevy Cobalt, a white Cobalt. And when they found it, it was 1.5 miles from where his car was last seen. He was strapped in the car. And when you see the pictures of this thing, there was not, as one sheriff said, there wasn't a straight piece of metal on this car. And it was about 1/4 of the size of what it had been. He was strapped in with his seatbelt. The other two bodies had been strewn wide divergences from where that car was, 1 mile separating where the other two bodies were. So the car was picked up 1.5 miles and tossed 1 mile, a half a mile, that is.
A lot of these stories that you tell have a very redemptive side or whatever. This doesn't sound like that, unless I'm missing something.
No, the only reason this struck me was because, he was a self-taught hobbyist, and I thought of the Wright brothers because I had read McCullough's great book, and we had done an hour on the Wright brothers. And there were these moments where the Wright brothers were up in Kitty Hawk by themselves. And when they were up in the air, they were the world's first crash test dummies. And they never rode together because they both knew that if that plane fell, they were going to die. And they both love the adrenaline. They love that they were on the cutting edge of science. They, like Samaras, were not academicians. They were not PhDs. They were hobbyists. They were bicycle mechanics.
Well, you know what they were? They were real Americans.
This is the point. What I loved about Samaras' story is he was a dreamer. And his dream was to chase tornadoes, and he invented a career. He invented the science. He invented the machines. And then the next thing you know, the guy's got his own show on the Discovery Channel. And that is a quintessentially American idea.
That's what really drew me to his story. That's an American story.
Yeah.
Sheesh. You've got so
And by the way, Eric, I love is that I don't get into the politics here. I don't know how he voted. I don't care how he voted. And so much of how we live our lives today is, people are sizing each other up and they want to know who did you vote for? And I thought, how sad, I'm a father first. I'm a Christian most of all. I'm a huge fan of Ole Miss because I live there. There are these things I have deep passions about. And my political life is like 10th.
Yeah.
10th. But yet so much of how we're defining ourselves in the public space is through this ridiculous political lens. And I really wanted to. We have not mentioned Trump, Obama, or anything here. I don't mention them in the Newsweek columns. Not that I'm not interested, but everybody else has an opinion on these things.
It's interesting you say that. I talk pretty rarely about politics and current events on this show, and that's deliberate. I want very much to give people a break. And to say there's another world, you can talk about something that has no reference to the current events or to the politics. And I think it's really important and healthy for us to take a break and to look at other things. When you're studying art, music, it takes you away from that. I think it's healthy. We're going to be right back, folks, talking to Lee Habib, host of Our American Stories, right here on the Eric Metaxas Show.
Money. It makes a lot, they say. spends his days counting in a garage by the motorway. He was born upon the two upon.
Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, how are you? I want to tell you about Relief Factor.
Okay.
Can I tell you? Because,
yes.
Listen, for example, Relief Factor, we get these testimonials in here. Greg from Hawaii writes, my left knee started swelling last year, making climbing stairs and walking distances difficult. At the same time, my back, hips, and shoulders were aching, and I figured it was worth trying Relief Factor. Within 3 days, I was seeing a difference. Relief Factor is helping with almost all my aches and pains.
Wow.
A lot of people think they have to live with aches and pains, and I would say, you know, in some cases, maybe, but I would try Relief Factor. It is, how do I describe it, non-toxic. It's botanicals. You can take it all day long. This is not like taking Advil or something that you really shouldn't. It's not good for your organs, whatever. So go to relieffactor.com. Check out the Quick Start Pack for $19.95. Within a few weeks, you will know. It could be less than that, but you'll know if it works for you. But it's worked for a lot of people. Again, it's anti-inflammatory. It's something that I take every day. I recommend it. Relieffactor.com.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by making minimum payments? You should know. The credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-518-4020. 800-518-4020. That's 800-518-4020.
If you were fumbling around in the dark and someone handed you a flashlight, you'd take it, right? Shouldn't it be the same when it comes to spotting threats to your identity and data on your devices? The digital world is full of so many connections, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. And you don't want to be left in the dark if that happens. Fortunately, new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now adds the power of Norton Security to shed light on more of today's threats. Threats to your identity, like your personal info for sale on the dark web, and threats to your computer or tablet like ransomware or emerging viruses. No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but new LifeLock with Norton detects a wide range of threats to your identity and devices you may not see on your own. Join now and get an additional 10% off your first year. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code SMART. That's promo code SMART. New LifeLock with Norton. More detection, more protection.
Ike was such a sweet, lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up, and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh! My dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still stink.
Very stinky, both bad breath and bad gas.
I asked the vet, and he said, some dogs are just stinky.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E .com.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients convinced me that it was definitely worth trying. After about a week, he started smelling normal. My husband and I were really kind of astonished.
Dynavite is nutrition.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite .com.
I know I stand in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me. If we go someplace to dance, I know that there's a chance you won't be leaving.
Hey, folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Lee Habib about everything. We're just talking about great stuff. We're talking about Our American Stories, which you host. Before that, I want to ask you, do you have a relationship with Hillsdale College?
I do. I teach there for you, 2 weeks
wait,
every year.
You teach there yeah. at Hillsdale College?
I teach a course called The Story. And I go through cross-curriculum, and I give the kids an assignment to tell a story that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, crazy idea, that has actualities.
It's by the idea. You know who invented that? Aristotle. A Greek.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I want. And by the way, you're of Lebanese background.
Yes, exactly.
The Greeks love the Lebanese people. I just want you to know that.
And the
I'm
Lebanese
not going to kick you
Greeks.
Out of here because you're not
We have a lot
a Greek.
In common.
No,
Greeks
I'm not kidding.
We
My
really
uncle,
do.
Who was in Greece, he worked with in the shipping business. He wasn't a ship owner, but he worked in the shipping business. And I'm not kidding. He always would say how much he loved the Lebanese people. And I met Lebanese people who came to the island to visit him. It's really interesting to me.
We're the same. In the end, we're the same people. Think about it. Our faith's really important to us. Our family's really important. And we're entrepreneurs. I mean, we own stuff.
Not like all the non-Lebanese Greeks who are basically thieves and monsters.
Exactly right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly right.
All right. No, but since you have a relationship with Hillsdale and you teach a course there, I want to mention, folks, if you're listening right now, and if you're not listening, you wouldn't be hearing me, so you're not listening. Go to metaxasforhillsdale.com. Why? Because you can find out that Hillsdale is doing all kinds of things that you can access for free, like giving you a course on the U.S. Constitution. And they don't take taxpayer money. Hillsdale does not take money from the government. Do you know how many colleges in America do not take money from the government?
Just one other, I think. That's it.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. So Hillsdale College, they go to the top of the list just because they don't take money from the government, so they can say what they want. And what do they want to say? Well, they want to say America's a great country. The Constitution is worth studying. We have a rich history. All kinds of stuff. Go to metaxasforhillsdale.com and find out more. And every time I turn around, there's new good news about Hillsdale. The fact that you teach there, I mean, it's kind of gets hilarious. Anyway, you're the host of this thing called Our American Stories. We've talked about some of them in the past. I want to keep going. There are so many things. You'll write an article for Newsweek, and then you'll go deeper in Our American Stories.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you're working on something now with regard to Jack Phillips, the Colorado cake baker.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, it's a conversation I'm having with Christian owners of stores like a cake shop. And so the question, whatever the Supreme Court says is one thing. The Supreme Court, in the end, doesn't tell us how to live. It sets a bar, but we're allowed to live better or worse than the Supreme Court says, right? It's the law. And so I'm a Christian. And so the question is, if I own a bake shop and a gay couple comes into my bake shop, how am I going to treat them?
Right.
Am I going to welcome them? Am I going to thank them for coming? Am I going to sell them a cake? Well, of course I'm going to sell them a cake, right?
Right.
The question becomes the design on the top of the cake, right?
Yeah.
So if they ask for just roses on the top of the cake, well, I have no problem putting roses on the top of the cake. The problem becomes, is it two men kissing on the top of the cake? Is
yeah.
it something that now violates my religious conscience, right?
Right, right.
And this is the real question. And so I've told them, look, welcome gay couples into your place.
Yeah.
They may have stumbled in because they hear you make great cakes. Ask them these questions like you ask any other couple. When did you properly fall in love? Tell me about your life. Where were you born? Right? Because we're supposed to love everyone, right? No asterisk. We're supposed to love people. But here's the important part. When the person says, I need you to put the gay couple on the top and design that for me,
right.
You have to say, look, I'd love to, but I can't. It violates my religious conscience, but I'll tell you what. I have 9 people in town who'd be happy to help you with that. Friends of mine who aren't Christians who would be happy to design that, put it there, and put it right on the top of my cake. We're allowed to have this answer. By the way, what will this prove? The only reason that gay couple, if they walk out,
right.
The only reason that cake couple walked into that cake shop was to persecute that Christian, right? But if we kick them out, without even giving them a cake?
Yeah.
Well, then we're doing, look, if Chick-fil-A would have not served gay customers, I would object, period. We don't get to not serve gay people
right.
in the public square when we're just, you know, making a tire.
Well, but see,
cake,
but, this
right?
is, but this is the thing.
And
this was where
questions.
It does get political, Lee Habib, because we are being accused. Christians are accused of hating gays. All the Christians I know do not hate gays.
I don't know one who does.
So that's a total lie.
Right.
And then people are saying, well, but if you disagree with them, you hate them. We have to take a stand and say, listen, you cannot tell me, you can't define hate the way you want to define it. I know in my heart that I love people. I love people who agree with me, who disagree with me. And by the way, even if I want to hate somebody, the God I claim to worship commands me to love them.
That's right.
So this idea that when you have ideological differences, you hate somebody, you're a bigot, that is itself bigotry. And what we're talking about is trying to be clear that when somebody comes into my store and says, I want to buy this, I want to buy that, I don't think any Christian would ever say, you're gay, get out. What we're talking about is a whole other thing. It's when you're being asked to celebrate something with which you disagree. If somebody comes into my store and says, I want you to bake a cake that celebrates the PLO or that celebrates Hamas, the government can't force me to do that.
That's right.
And they shouldn't. In America, they shouldn't be able to force you to do that. So this is very complicated, but I love the way you've just framed it.
I might add, Eric, the other thing I told them is when somebody asks you, what's your position on gay marriage as a Christian, I'd say you should ask the following question. Why do you ask? And then when they ask the question again, you say, what part of why do you ask? Don't you understand?
Right.
Because if you'd come and take a walk with me for the next year, I'll answer the question in a year. But if you'd like to get to know who I am, what I believe in, what my faith says, I'd be happy to take you on that walk. But if you're just asking a question and get an answer you do or do not want to process to put me in a box, I'm not playing your game. By the way, I would never do that to anybody gay I know. Right? I just wouldn't do it. And so why are you doing it to me? So I just think there are things we can do as Christians to just disarm the haters, because there are people who hate us. Yeah. We have to learn how to love them properly and deal with some of their objections.
It's interesting you say that, because I think, again, we live in a culture where when somebody asks you a question, they act as though you owe them an answer.
Right.
And I think a lot of times we play into that. And I think when somebody asks you a question or demands something of you, somebody puts something on Twitter and kind of demands that you take a stand against groping, or and you think, wait a second, I don't have to do anything because you say I have to do it.
Right.
I have a whole life that you can look at. I don't have to jump when you say jump. And if somebody demands an answer to a question, we don't owe them an answer.
That's right.
And we need to know that. Okay, we're going to be right back with Lee Habib talking about Our American Stories at OurAmericanNetwork.org. This is the Eric Metaxas Show.
In the steel of the night, once again I hold you tight.
The way you get your medicine prescriptions is now changing across America. GoGoMeds.com can deliver your medicine right to your door. Here's all you need to do. Your doctor gives you the prescription. You go online to GoGoMeds.com, put in your information, and make sure to include the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. Your meds are then delivered to your home, and you've saved money. It's that easy. No more waiting, no lines, no copay each month, and best of all, no wandering around the store aimlessly waiting for your prescription to be filled. GoGoMeds.com, the new way to get your medicine delivered right to your door. Remember that getting your prescription filled now means never having to go to a store again. GoGoMeds.com, GoGoMeds.com. Use the promo code MIKE2018 to save $10 off your first prescription. That's GoGoMeds.com, promo code MIKE2018.
What is it costing you in vet bills for that convenience of just pulling open a bag of
formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits? That costs a ton of money anyways.
How do you feed your dog to derive not only energy, but a good coat, bright eyes, and a great attitude?
Come to Dinovite for help.
Dinovite dot com.
I found his raw meat diet on Dinovite.com.
With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dinovite and the Super Omega on top of it.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Buy two, get one free.
Ground beef, white rice, eggs, including the shells, and the Dinovite supplement, and then the LicoChops.
Try LicoChops. Buy two, get one free.
It just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit.
Adding Dinovite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
Their skin is so much better now that they're on the raw diet. I don't even give them the kibble anymore.
Dinovite dot com.
Then I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. There was a band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low,
swing low,
sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I love music. And We've got the best bumper music anywhere, Lee Habib. I just want you to know
that's what
well, people keep saying that to me, and I thought
Elton John and Johnny Cash on the same show.
I'm starting to think that I agree. Well, I just love this music. But you said you're all about stories. Again, the name of your program is Our American Stories on Our American Network. Tell us the story. You said you had a story about a song.
Yeah, it was You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, and it was written by...
I do?
No, I do. But that's another story. We'll do that on another show.
Okay.
Actually, it's written by Carole King, a Jewish girl from the Upper West Side. Her husband, by the way, Jerry Goffin, writes the lyrics. A man writes the lyrics to You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the song is sitting on a shelf, and, you know, a songwriter is only as good as the singer that gets it. Well, a guy named Jerry Wexler gets this song into the hands of a very young Aretha Franklin, who had been signed to CBS Records, and they were trying to turn her into the next Diana Ross. Only she wasn't the next Diana Ross. And they were shrinking her. They were making her go on a diet.
Because Diana Ross is really skinny.
Really skinny.
And Aretha Franklin, not so much.
Well, they tried to skinnify her. Once she got fired from CBS Records, Jerry Wexler at Atlantic Records gets a hold of her, tells her to start eating, which she's really grateful for. She's a girl who loves gospel music. Her father is one of the most powerful preachers in Detroit. And so here's this song that Jerry Wexler takes. He loves this song that Carole King has written. Again, a white Jewish girl from the Upper East Side. He gets it to this African-American girl in Detroit. The African-American girl goes to Muscle Shoals, Alabama to record it. And something remarkable happens in this space. The intellectual property of the songwriter, the two very different lives, again, one white, one Jewish, one black, one Baptist, come together through this music and through this businessman, Jerry Wexler. And they make a kind of music that only America can make. Proving not only that intellectual property rights matter and that our founders protected not just property rights, property, but ideas, patents, intellectual property, and that only in America could a song like You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman happen. A Jew writes it, a man writes the lyrics, a black woman sings it, and it becomes an international hit for both of them. Just a great story about music. And by the way, we hear Jerry Wexler telling the story, Carole King telling the story. We have all the actualities when we play these pieces.
You mean on Our American Stories, you tell this story?
We interview these people, yeah.
You interviewed Carole King?
Oh, we pulled her. We pulled some common stuff that she had done out in the world. We asked for the rights to it. Jerry Wexler was dead, but we pulled some audio from him telling this story. And ultimately, we put together this beautiful piece about music. Look, these are things that can only happen in America. The way the races get along. If you go out today into New York or to Oxford and watch black and white get together, all the different races, you watch TV, you think black and white people are shooting each other all the time, that we hate each other. What the TV and the life they're representing has nothing to do with what we're talking about in Our American Stories or at Newsweek, which is that the life Americans are living is very different than the one we're watching on TV. Very different.
And that's the point. And it's kind of why I do, it is why I do this program, and it's why you do Our American Stories. There are stories and things that people never hear about, and they need to hear about it. And so I want to thank you, Lee Habib, for Our American Stories. We're going to have you back very shortly. If people want to find Our American Stories, then go to OurAmericanNetwork.org. And if you want to listen to this radio program, you're already listening to it. So what do you want from me? Thanks for listening. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.